Welcome to the third podcast of the 9th edition of the Royal College of General Practitioners Essential Knowledge Update Program. My name is Dirk Pilat and I am the clinical lead for the project. It is now June 2012 and summer has decided to call it a day and leave for warmer parts. In my practice in the East End of London, we are starting to prepare for the arrival of a few hundred thousand extra patients wanting to see us in our walk-in centre during the Olympics and are considering to put a few extra chairs in the waiting area. While at EKU headquarters, thoughts are turning to the important business of choosing the colour of a new water cooler for the move to the new premises at Euston Square. No wonder that at times I long for a quick and easy way to reduce stress and anxiety, and fortunately 5 minutes of Melvin Bragg's In Our Time seem to do the trick nicely. But some of our patients are not so lucky and often rather resort to a use of pills to calm themselves down. Long-term benzodiazepine use is still a problem in primary care, and the most fraught consultations in my practice often seem to revolve around convincing patients to reduce their diazepam use, which has often gone on for decades. So imagine my delight when I found two recent articles that highlighted the efficiency of short interventions in general practice in the reduction of benzodiazepine use. I discussed the issue with Dr. Alan Cohen, Director of Primary Care at the West London Mental Health Trust, who worked on the issue for EKU9. I asked him whether he had still concerns about the current use of benzodiazepines in general practice.
That's correct, Dirk. I think, firstly, that we should remember that benzodiazepines are an effective medication for the short-term management of anxiety disorders and insomnia. So that providing that the treatment plan is to stop treatment within 2 to 3 weeks of beginning, then they're a useful and effective drug.
Can I ask, what's the typical patient you normally initiate benzodiazepines in?
Frankly, most of the time I can manage without having to prescribe benzodiazepines. But there are occasionally, sometimes a patient is very anxious, very tense, when a short course might be helpful. And in such a case, something like lorazepam, 1 milligram twice or three times a day, or diazepam, five milligrams, 2 or 3 times a day, is more than enough, because both are very sedating, but absolutely for no longer than 3 weeks and preferably shorter than that.
And you are happy to prescribe them up to 3 weeks, because of me, I always thought that 3 weeks would be quite enough to start them on the way to benzodiazepine addiction.
You're correct. The evidence is that and certainly the guidance in the British National Formulary is very clear that not to prescribe longer than 3 weeks.
Okay.
But the message, I think, is to keep the prescription time as short as possible, because, yes, it's very easy to become quite addicted to them. Interestingly, for people with generalized anxiety disorder, there's some evidence that benzodiazepines actually make the long-term management of the condition that much worse. So there's really, it's a difficult balance to know whether to manage the acute problem now or you're going to make it worse in the long term.
Well, you're absolutely right, because if you have somebody who is on long-term benzodiazepines and you start just initiating discussion about reduction, you're actually causing high levels of anxiety within the patient, because they're going to be predicting a future without the drug that has been, well, that they think has been helping them over the last 7 years.
Mm. I agree, and I think that the route for the plan for prescribing benzodiazepines for a new patient must always be for a short period of time. I think there's a different sequence of events when looking at somebody, frequently an older person, who's been on a drug for many years, and that's really quite a difficult problem. Mm-hmm. As you say, that you may actually generate considerable levels of anxiety even by talking about it. Yeah. And it's about the clinical skills that we have to judge whether it's appropriate or not, to try and help the patient come off the medication.
And it was this article, I think, by a Dutch group, mm-hmm. About how to initiate diazepine withdrawal remotely, just by letter. And that was actually surprisingly effective.
It does, or at least beginning to talk about it with a patient, and then having a plan with the patient of how the the dose regimen is going to be cut down over a period of time. Mm-hmm. That generally the withdrawal rate for a benzodiazepine should be 10 to 25% of the daily dose mm-hmm. every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So this is quite a long drawn out procedure that's needed. Mm-hmm. And you and your colleagues should be aware that sometimes there is a withdrawal syndrome that occurs up to any time up to 3 weeks after stopping a long-acting benzodiazepine. Mm-hmm. And the syndrome consists of insomnia, mm-hmm. anxiety, anorexia, tremor, perspiration, and a perceptual difficulty. Mm-hmm. And again, the worry is that going back onto the benzodiazepines to manage these symptoms will just prolong the whole process.
Yeah.
So real care should be taken.
There was a recent meta-analysis by Mogunthan et al. In the British Journal of General Practice, which we picked up on in Essential Knowledge Update 9, which you mentioned in your treatment of this, of how a simple intervention can be quite effective to stop people taking regular benzodiazepines.
That's correct. The author reviewed 3 trials, and all of them found that just sending a letter to the patient for those patients who are older patients on long-term benzodiazepines could reduce the use quite considerably. And the effect size was significant. There was one patient would stop using benzodiazepines for every 12 letters that were sent out. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, there was no additional advantage in sending a self-help information leaflet or a consultation with a GP. So that just sending the letter is really effective. And it's something that is cost-effective and time-effective for most practices.
And, of course, it's as far as I remember, a recent meta-analysis showed that benzodiazepine use alone can increase your overall mortality significantly. So
sure.
you can actually back your letter up with some hard data.
You're talking about the content of the letter is quite interesting. And the studies also showed the elements that were the most effective. So there are about 5 things that need to be considered. First, to explain the concern to the individual over the long-term use of a hypnotic. So you need to name the drug and the extent of the extent for how long it's been used. So, dear Mrs. Bloggs, you've been using diazepam 10 milligrams 3 times a day for the last 20 years. Highlight the potential side effects, that of addiction, that of drowsiness, unsteadiness on your feet, more likely to fall. Those sorts of things make really bring home to the patient the effects of the medication. Then suggest to the patient that maybe they should consider reducing the use. Mrs. Bloggs, it would be really helpful if you would consider cutting down the dose in a gradual, planned way. So you actually write into the letter a treatment plan for how they could cut it down. Why don't you reduce it by, for example, 2 milligrams a week, Mrs. Bloggs. And then finally, Mrs. Bloggs, if you'd like to come in and talk to me about it, I'd love to see you. Those 5 elements, the concerns, the potential side effects, consider the reduction, advice on how to reduce them, and a treatment plan, and then offering the opportunity of an appointment, work extraordinarily well to reduce use of benzodiazepines in the older person who's long-term.
Yes, and now the bonus is that the other paper we've quoted, discontinuation of long-term benzodiazepines 10 years on, that 73% of benzodiazepine users who stopped with the minimal intervention 10 years ago are still off it. And
exactly.
I thought that was the key for me to try this myself.
It's an extraordinarily cheap and effective intervention.
And we should all be doing it.
It's yes. hard to know why we're not.
Yes, yes. And trust me and my prescribing lead in our practice, we've now started this and we've been running our first email searches in our long-term 65 and above patients. So we're going to trial this with our more senior patients. And then if it works all right with them, we're then going to hopefully be extending it to the rest of the practice.
Excellent. I think that there are really the 2 messages from the learning item. First is don't start it.
Yes.
So that we don't start generating a new cohort of long-term users.
Yes.
If you start it, make clear when you're prescribing it's only for a short period of time and you're not going to repeat prescribe it. And then the second learning bit is that if you do have patients under long-term use of benzodiazepines, a letter is remarkably effective at generating significant changes in their behaviour and little cost to the practice.
And there you have it, one of the most positive endnotes we had in EKU for a long time. This was the third EKU podcast of 2012. It was produced on Audacity, the free and open audio editor. The music you heard at the beginning was by Matt Bianco, who kindly gave us the permission to use it. My name is Dr. Dirk Pilat. Goodbye.